Hey everyone, welcome back. I'm James, and you are here for another episode of the Marketing Ramblers podcast. I'm your host, James, and each week we cover one topic that I think everybody should look at when it comes to marketing their business. So, this week is all about networking your business without adverts, without paying for adverts, I should say. So, we're diving deep into this topic because I don't think it gets talked about enough. And I think lots of people feel that they need to pay for advertising space when they're growing their business. So I'll be real with you. I don't have a massive budget and I don't even have one right now because I'm at the early stages of my business and some of you people out there will also be in a similar position to me. So as a solopreneur or side hustle, you don't want to blow your startup budget. So, I mean, you can spend hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. I'm from the UK, but we use dollars because it's the universal currency of the world. And you really don't want to spend your initial startup budget on advertising straight away. And there's all sorts of reasons for that, but I'll go into those a little bit later on. So, number one, all of these podcasts seem to break down quite well into like sort of 5 points. So, number one, one of the things you can do to grow your business without having to use paid advertising, one of the strategies I recommend is to network. And networking generally just beats adverts in general because 9 times out of 10, the person that you're talking to is more likely to convert. And the people that they talk to off the back of that, who learn about you, are more likely to convert. And at the end of the day, it's all about conversions. We're not interested in vanity impressions or figures. So, kind of an example of that would be you get the likes of people who go on the Shark Tank, or in the UK, you've got Dragon's Den, and they go, "Oh, how many people viewed your video on adverts on TikTok or whatever?" And you say 10 million, and they go, "Well, how many converted into sales?" And they say like 2. So there's like your example. Yeah, so adverts are like pouring petrol onto the fire. So you make the fire bigger, but networking is the spark. So essentially, it's the catalyst for growing your traffic and growing your business as a whole. So networking is really important. And I found it more and more important to me with my business as a sort of relationship-focused business. When you start out, people buy you. So you have to sell yourself. So essentially, it's not your product. You could have the best product in the world, but if people don't like you, then it's quite difficult to progress. So, as on the back of that, you've got networking creates trust, and you can often find referrals or collaborations off the back of that. And the more collaborations and referrals you do, the better, because essentially, you don't know who's in the room with you. So if you're doing a collaboration and someone in the audience is running a huge company and you don't realize that you're impacting them in a positive way, that can be game changing for you, but you wouldn't necessarily know that unless you put yourself in that position. And case in point, the opportunities that can come off the back of that can be massive for your business. So, number two. So, growing a business without adverts. So, number two is where do you find your people? So, if you're going online, you've got LinkedIn groups, Facebook groups. Look at relevant hashtags to you. So, if you are on any of the platforms, find a relevant hashtag, click on it. 9 times out of 10, if you're on Instagram or something like that, you can click a hashtag and you can see all the content that's related to that particular hashtag. And it might be that it's people looking for something in particular. So they might be like, "Free, I need free this because I need that." And you can find those things in there. And it's a good place to approach people too that you think might be a good fit to work with as well. Because sometimes people, when they've hashtagged something, they're either looking for something or they're presenting it so that it can be found. Yeah, so another way, slide into someone's DMs. Obviously, try not to be spammy. I mean, you get people and they just kind of sell you all sorts. I mean, you get the ones where they sell you, they'll compliment you and then they'll say DM us and you DM them and then there's a whole kind of transaction that's involved in. That stuff's just not overly professional. I mean, you can kind of just go with a really human approach. Just be very like open with people. So offline. So we covered online marketing and where to find people. This is step two. And offline is kind of stuff like I mentioned, going to groups. So local business meetups, co-working spaces, community events, that kind of thing. And then talking to people even at like gym or coffee shop or something. Just tell them what you do, what you can offer. And yeah, if one thing I've learned is if you can tell a story, that can usually help with sort of the sales aspect with what you're selling. People love a good story and it kind of calms them down a little bit and they don't think you're trying to sell to them. And most of the time, you're not just telling a story, but they're a lot more receptive to your input post-story. Okay, so that was one. So why networking beats adverts. So, you know, grow your sphere of influence through people that you know and your networking circles, and then people talk to people that they know, and then it becomes this whole beautiful snowball effect. And then two, it's kind of all about where you find these people. Once you've kind of networked a little bit, you can go, okay, well, these people I know for a fact hang out here. And even if you join like a WhatsApp group that was particularly relevant to you, you could kind of start talking to people. I'd say don't try and sell to those people. I'd say just try and build those, open those dialogues to begin with. So number three, how to network without feeling salesy. So you've found people, you have started networking, and now this is kind of, number three is all about what that pitch will be. So it's a bit of a predicament I'm in, is kind of like, I don't want to sell to people up front. I opened a dialogue first of all. So trick is to lead with curiosity, not a pitch. So I think the best example of sales I've experienced and seen online and stuff is where you kind of ask questions and start the communication. And the reason you want to do that is because essentially you figure out if they're a right fit for you before you've even decided to pitch what you're doing. You also sort of get to know them a bit more and you can kind of see if they're the kind of person you want to work with as well, because it's a two-sided thing. I mean, you don't necessarily want to work with everybody because not everybody is your ideal person and customer. And then the other thing too is once you know what they're about, you know maybe a little bit of their backstory, you know kind of the pain points they've experienced, and you also will also maybe know what their potential budget is. So, you know, when I get pitched, and I know it's coming, when people pitch me, they'll just be like, they'll start talking to me like friendly and stuff at like an exhibition or whatever. And then I'm like, oh, here we go. What's going to happen now? And they'll kind of go, oh, I love what you're doing. It's just the best thing ever. And I'll be like, oh, thanks. And then they'll say, by the way, we do this. And I'll go, ah, oh, thanks, but I'm good. And then they kind of go, oh, and I kind of break the flow and like they're not sure what to do with it. And on the flip side of that, I go to places sometimes and I really want to get something and they don't want to sell to me and they don't want to ask me any questions. And I kind of think you should ask questions because your order values might go up. And yeah, it's quite funny. seeing it in action. Once you learn a few of these things from people that are more experienced from you, which I've done, I've learned a few things from people I've been mixing with and stuff. And they rub off on you a little bit. And when someone doesn't behave like you've been shown, it's quite amusing, really, because you know what's coming. And then they don't realize that you know what they're going to do next. And then you can kind of head it off. And there's this kind of awkward silence. Usually there's an awkward silence where they're just like, this was meant to go a different way than it did. And it bugs me too, because I had someone once and I thought they were genuinely being friendly. And it turned out that they were just wanting to sell, I believe it was solar panels. So it was solar panels for the business that I work for my day job. It originally started off really nice and he was really friendly about like our stand and just wanted to sort of talk. And he said, oh, you know, you should come over and get like a freebie coffee or something. I said, oh, that's really nice, you know, thanks and stuff. And then I think it was like the next day or something, he was like, he just like started selling hard. And I just switched off and I felt betrayed. And I even spoke to one of my colleagues and was like, you know, this guy, I felt a bit kind of let down, really. I thought he was being genuine and then he wasn't. So in my opinion, if you're going to open these dialogues and have these relationships, you should always be genuine. I've always been genuine with the people that I have spoken to or kind of done any kind of sales stuff with. Like, I value their relationship and their time. Whereas in this particular situation that I was in, he was just interested in maybe securing like 10, 15, 20 solar panels for the roof of our factory or something. And just a real letdown. So yeah, don't do that. If you're going to open these dialogues, be genuine and show a real interest in what they're doing, because they'll find out if you're being fake, as I did and I have done. Because you see it coming. The more trained and understanding you are of the kind of sales patter, as we call it in the UK, where you're kind of ad-libbing and people say stuff to you, you pick up on these cues that people are giving off without realizing it. So yeah, be genuine, you people out there. So yeah, how do you network without feeling salesy? Say, show genuine interest, be authentic with the kind of interactions you have. And if there's any way you can give prior to buying, give rather than receiving, if you can offer some insight or some help, that generally is a great idea too. Because I believe everyone should give first before receiving in all manner of business and life, really. So you can say opening lines, so a couple of examples. You can say, what are you working on right now? And then listen, understand. Another point too is if you can listen more than you speak, that can help also. There's nothing worse than, I learned this the hard way too, there's nothing worse when you're shopping and somebody won't let you speak and they're talking at you and you want to voice your opinion on it and you can't. And once I learned that lesson the hard way from selling in retail, I never made the same mistake again. I found a lot of the more experienced people in my team at that time at a different job, not the one that I'm at now, that they would be very quiet. And it was almost awkwardly quiet, I felt. But it worked really well because then what they would do is ask really interesting questions and the people would resonate with that. And they used to sell 9 times out of 10. It was very rare that their person walked away without purchasing the item that they were interested in. And I learned a lot from that. And it was just like, calm down, relax in the situation, be present, but don't go to sleep because you got to listen to what people are telling you before you can sell. Okay, yeah. So giving, what are you working on right now? Great starter. Lead with curiosity, not your pitch. and no strings attached. So just be very genuine with the stuff that you give away for free. It's okay to take email addresses and contact information, but I would say don't offer stuff with the expectation that you're going to receive in return. Okay, so that was quite enough on that little aspect. Section four, so question four, I should say. Creative ways to collaborate instead of advertising. Okay. So if you have a podcast, for example, hint, hint, you can swap guests. So I don't have any guests right now, but I might in the future. So something you can do is swap the kinds of guests that you have between each other, and you can both share those insights with your audience. Great. Great thing. A good example of that is Diary of a CEO. He had this lady, and she was talking about creatine in the supplement. And she overnight appeared on, I must say, another three different podcasts that I have a little bit of interest in too. So there's some definite connection sharing going on there. So yeah, the big boys doing it. I think we should too. Yeah, so Instagram Lives, so where people can offer feedback live in that space, you know, so they can, you could have someone you want to work with or a collaborative partner jump on the Instagram Live or something with you, and you can both kind of work together on that, bring both of your audiences together. Shout each other out in your newsletters. So if you've got a newsletter, so I've got a newsletter, shameless plug, 5-Bullet Marketing Mastery, 5 bullets every week that will enlighten you and help you with your marketing. But if I brought someone in, I could shout someone out that I really like too. Yeah. Do your offer with another solopreneur or business owner. So you could do a collaboration. One of my clients, I should say, really, he has done a collaborative art piece with one of a local donut shop, and it works fantastic. And what a collaboration. Two great things combining as one. And I was very impressed when I saw it. I was like, that's so cool. He's taken kind of this whole idea of collaboration and took it to the next level, which I'm really, really, really proud of. So that's great for two reasons, because they're both local businesses and everybody knows each of them in their own right. And they came together and made these like cool, one-of-a-kind art pieces together. And they can put them up in their shop, and he can show them off as his skill as well. And it's mutually beneficial because people will see those when they're having their coffee, donuts or whatever, and he can show off that he's worked with them and vice versa and stuff. So love it. Yeah. So essentially in this situation, you're borrowing each other's audiences. So what I'm saying with creative ways to collaborate, you're finding ways to share in non-intrusive way to each other's audience. So a good example of this, you get these people on YouTube, YouTube channels and stuff, and they'll kind of say, hey, I hope you like my YouTube channel. You'll like this guy. Then they'll go, if they really like each other, they'll sort of shout each other out. And generally they grow together and they get a bigger audience that way and stuff. So yeah, it's a good idea. I should do more of that, really. I don't really know anyone right now, so I'm just kind of making it up as I go along. So, okay, that's enough chatting. So four, so that was number four. So four was all about creative ways to collaborate. So number five, and the final point before I close out, is that it's really important to nurture and not just collect. So networking isn't just about stacking business cards. And it's very easy to do if you go to sort of like exhibitions and stuff, but you just go, there you go, there you go. Or vice versa. It's like, oh, nice to meet you there. Yeah, I'll take this. And not necessarily going anywhere. So when I say nurture, don't collect, I'm saying you should track your interactions. So I'm going to do more of that. So what I mean is to either put by a CRM system or create your own sort of CRM system-like experience. And what that means in a simple way is to create a list of people and their contact information. And the bit that's important here is to make a note of the interaction and the time scale. I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but I certainly have, where someone else is using this kind of setup, and then they show up exactly 6 months or something after you've spoken to them. And the reason that they show up 6 months exactly after you've spoken to them is because they've worked their way down the CRM and your name came up and it was like, I spoke to James in January. So now I'm going to speak to James. So phone rings. Who is it? It's the person you spoke to 6 months ago from X, Y, or Z business. And the reason this stuff's important is because it's kind of this collaboration and this kind of mix between marketing and sales. So in my opinion, marketing and sales are very kind of, if you're a business owner, you kind of want to combine the two a little bit because they kind of show up. There's a lot of correlations. So you can do the same kind of stuff with your marketing too. So if you've spoken to someone to try and get a deal done to advertise your business and it didn't quite work out, you can also put that into your CRM and just come back to it in 3 months and then see if the opportunity is available again. And sales is the same kind of deal. So you can nurture. So that's kind of the aim of the game, is to nurture each of these things, either marketing leads to grow your presence and do bigger deals, because in my experience, when you do marketing, the kinds of conversations you have and the money involved change, and the scale and the time from which these things work out changes. So I would say that's a good example. Good example of this kind of thing is where you might be waiting for someone to do you a better price on something that was quite an exclusive position for your business to be in. That's probably the simplest way to put it. And sometimes you have to nurture the person and the relationship before you can even get into these exclusive sort of positions with your business. Yeah. Sometimes the people are too busy to help you straight away. So that's where this kind of coming back to it and nurturing it comes in. You can sort of put your hat in the ring, so to speak, and then you can kind of come back to it. But they know you're interested at the same time. This whole kind of game with a cat and mouse. But you've just got to have it in your mind that you're going to get that deal and not your rivals or competitors. The bigger the opportunity for you and your and for the marketing of your business, the harder it is to secure, but then also the game is different. Yeah. I've put that as succinct as I can. That's quite a difficult thing for me to put into words right now. I don't seem to be able to offer the right kind of explanation. I know what I mean, and I think you will too. If you'll know what I mean when these bigger deals come around and you're doing sort of things where you're the only advertiser in a spot, and it comes down to it, you'll know what I mean. You'll know what I mean. Let's leave it there before I waffle on for too much longer. Okay, so I say networking is not just about stacking business cards. It's about staying in touch and just nurturing these relationships. So you can comment on their posts. Say a great thing is if you really like a business and you want to work with them and you're marketing your own business, there's no harm in interacting with their content. Just do it in a really genuine way. Sometimes it can come across as a bit sort of too much for people. I mean, most of the time people will be happy that you've engaged with their content, because sometimes it's a ghost town. I've done all sorts of posts and content and it doesn't get noticed till 6 months later and stuff like that. Like, this stuff happens. Marketing is just, sometimes feels like you're just throwing balls around in the air, or you're shooting paintballs at the wall and hoping something sticks. You know, it's just one of those things. But we get there. And when we do get there, the rewards are usually very sweet. And sometimes when you work in a kind of business environment and someone just realizes that you've been doing some really great stuff, and they tell your boss, and it's like, they're like, oh my God, look at this. This person was talking about you. And you're like, oh, really? That's cool. And then they'll mention something you did 6 months ago that was, you felt at the time was really cool, but like no one necessarily paid any attention to it. So yeah, say marketing is a bit like shooting paintballs at the wall and hoping that you make a mess and people will notice the mess. Fun analogy. And then also kind of marketing can feel a bit like juggling balls as well. So throwing balls in the air and trying not to drop them all, because there's so much stuff you can do. And that's why I tell people that I work with just to kind of focus on a few things, because a few juggling balls in the air is easier than multiple juggling balls in the air. So yeah, it's not about volume. It's about the real connections. And don't worry if you've only got like 10 followers. But if those 10 followers are super passionate, you'll know about it. Okay. Section 6 question. So option, so bullet 6 to all of this. And a wrap up for this long video, because I've nearly been talking for half an hour somehow. But yes. So here's my challenge. This week, instead of fiddling with adverts, go and have 3 genuine conversations with people. Just someone you admire. Comment thoughtfully on their post, or invite a friend for a coffee to talk shop and talk business. Those connections will be worth way more to you than a boosted post that will disappear within 24 hours. And I can guarantee that for a fact, because affiliation and growing through networking is just the best form of marketing, and it will continue to be the best as AI dominates. And there'll be soulless content. I think that's a good way to put it. I have noticed there's a lot more soulless content around now than there's ever been. And some of it's really funny, but like some of it's just like cringy. And then other stuff is not necessarily here nor there. So let's say humanize your brand and just do your best to be authentically you, because AI won't replicate you. Even with the voice of you, it's not you, is it? Because sometimes we sound different the next day and stuff, depending on how we've been living our lives and things. So yeah, that's it for today's ramble. If this hits home to you, let me know. Shoot me a message on Instagram. I hang out there most days. That's kind of my platform of choice. Or you can message, comment down here on YouTube. And if you are on the podcast platforms, so I'm on Apple Podcasts and Shopify is another brand. But please leave this show a like or 5 stars or whatever you want to do. Show some engagement. It'll really help me out. And leave me a comment, see if there's something that's helped you and your brand. And yeah, if you want me to cover more scrappy, no-budget ways to grow your business, let me know. That's a great turn of phrase. Scrappy business. It's like Scrappy-Doo. The Scooby-Doo franchise. Like, put them up. This is what we should all be doing with our businesses, you know, stay hungry and foolish, as Steve Jobs said. So yeah, thanks for tuning in as always. And remember, business grows at the speed of trust, not the speed of your advertising spend. So stop spending all your money on adverts. And I mean, you can do a bit of that, and I could talk about strategic advert placements as budgets change for you and your business. But yeah. And yeah, so I'm James, and I'll catch you in the next episode. And if you want some help, I have coaching calls. I offer coaching. And if that's something of interest to you, check it out on my website, jameshalder.com. Book in a slot and we can talk about it. And until then, if I don't see you, have a great week and I'll catch you in the next podcast. Thanks, guys. Bye.